Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. I'm sure the roads, the highways, the streets are packed as people are getting where they need to go for Thanksgiving. Thank you for being with us. Big Sook is out. He is sick. He does not have a voice. Hopefully we get him back on Friday. Ryan Buckley is here. My name is Isaac, your very courageous sports host who is powering through without my great sidekick.
You're nothing if not courageous. I think that's probably how most people describe you.
That's right. I'm known for my courage. So coming up this hour, like I mentioned, I want to talk a little bit about if the Ducks may lose Kenny Dillingham. Don't have any inside info there, but he has been talking to Arizona State. We will rob the bank. This is a very popular segment. Now, even without Sook, we will have Sook's picks for those who like to tail Big Sook. He's having a pretty good year. He's plus 15 units, and he has submitted his picks to us via text. So I'll get those out. We'll do that at 5:30. We normally do that on Thursdays. It won't be here tomorrow. Coming up in the club tonight, did you know there used to be two Thanksgivings in Oregon? Is this something that you've read about, known about?
I have never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that story. And we have a true international hero from up the road in Seattle.
Oh.
He's at the World Cup, and he's done something great. But right now, boy, we're early. We're super early.
Are we?
Well, I mean, I feel like, see, it's always, the boss always asks me why I can't stay on time. I'm like, well, it's Big Sook. And sure enough, it's 5:03. I'm ready for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan. Number 5.
This is as close as we've been to 5 o'clock with the Hot 5 at 5 in a long time.
That's probably true.
Today at the World Cup in Qatar, we had another scoreless draw between Croatia and Morocco. We had Japan upsetting Germany 2-1.
Yeah, if you played Japan on the old sports book, paid out 6-1 for the win.
So not even close to the upset of the...
Oh, definitely not, but I think if you were just to take the dog in most soccer games, you're not getting paid out 6-1.
25-1, Saudi.
Yeah.
Because
they were the 51st-ranked team in the world in a 32-team tournament.
Would they beat Argentina?
Argentina, who's the fifth in the world.
How would you, if you sound like a, you kind of sound like a World Cup guy. Like, you know your soccer?
I follow the World Cup every year, and I generally am in a pool with some buddies, so I do a little research beforehand on what's going on. It's not like I follow it all these 4 years in between.
How would one know Japan is ripe to upset Germany? Like, what would you look at?
I don't know if I would have been able to say why that they're... Well, they're ripe to upset them. I think that you could probably look at their most recent form and what some of their players had been doing for some of their individual clubs. I saw one person say that, like, kind of the player of the match for Japan, if you had been watching him in his club season, you wouldn't have been surprised by his performance today. He's been playing as well or better than any of the German stars or something like that. So
okay. Spain spit all over Costa Rica, 7-0. By the way, that's equivalent, because I always like to put it in American football terms, that's equivalent to 70-0 on the NFL.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that's equivalent to a touchdown to nothing.
70-0. That would be like, yeah, I don't know, who's playing this week? Bills beating Detroit, 70-0. And then we had Belgium beating Canada, 1-0. How about that?
Yeah, and actually Canada looked pretty fierce in that game. They looked they were on the wrong side of that one. Belgium much better than Canada traditionally.
Okay. USA plays England on Friday.
It's a big one.
So.
Excited.
It's the Hot 5 there.
Bob. Oh, you know what? It sure is. Didn't know we were done with the Hot 5.
Number 4.
That's all the hot soccer talk you're getting today. The Blazers are Lillardless tonight in Cleveland. And they are losing. Pull it up here.
They were down 10 last I checked.
By the way, I didn't know Cleveland. They're third in the East.
Yeah, they've been pretty good since they got Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, Mitchell's balling out. They're 11-6. Right now, the score is 52-43 in favor of Cleveland. And Portland is wearing, once again, they're wearing the PDX carpet jerseys. I have one college basketball note, and that is that 14th-ranked Arizona won the Maui Invitational today. They beat Creighton in the final, 81-79. And color me surprised, that was the final. We were watching it in here.
I did not know that was the last game.
Yeah, it's like I always feel like the Maui Invitational started right about now.
I thought it started like today and then like went through Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know. But Arizona won. So there you have it. You missed it.
Number 3.
The Los Angeles Angels are trying to bulk up in a very angel-y way. Today they trade for outfielder Hunter Renfroe from the Brewers. They give up 3 pitchers whose names I could read to you, but most of you would have no idea who they are. The Texas Rangers appear to be among the most serious suitors for lefty free agent pitcher Carlos Rodon of your Giants. So they're not going to keep him?
I think that he's got 1 year left on his deal, I think, and they're looking more towards, I don't know, rebuilding their staff. I think he wanted too much money more than they're willing to give him, so they may be willing to move him.
The Giants, by the way, reportedly drafting up an offer to Aaron Judge as we speak.
That's another reason they're not going to pay Carlos Rodon.
They're not getting Aaron Judge.
They might. Hey, if the kid wants to come home to the Northern California area, they might.
I tell you, I've been seeing a lot of interviews with him and stuff. He's a great guy.
I think so, too.
That would be a great get. He is a great kid.
But I don't think the Yankees let him out of the year.
Well, he's 30, so is he a kid? Well, he is to me, damn it.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Yankees are going to get him back. But
doesn't seem like he's been on the scene for as long as he has.
His teeth kind of scare me, though. You know, he had his teeth done, and they're very prominent.
Are they? I guess I. Like, so does he not have the gap anymore?
No, he fixed it. They're perfect. Perfect white, big old veneers, and it's a little jarring when you first see it. Okay, what do we have here? Turns out the Arizona assistant fired after an incident in Mexico City, Sean Kugler. Turns out he was turfed for groping a woman. It happened Sunday night. Police alerted the team, and they sent him packing Monday morning before the game. In other sports guy wrongdoing news, 7 Michigan State football players have been charged in the tunnel beating of a Michigan player. The charges range from felonious assault to aggravated assault, also assault and battery. None of the 7 have played in a game since the incident.
Yeah, one. I guess 6 of them are misdemeanor charges. 1 felony charge.
Yeah, and that's probably the guy that swinging his helmet.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Number one.
And number one today, we have 2 more quarterbacks being benched in the NFL. This is not a shock, but the Jets have, they're actually going to make Zach Wilson inactive this week. So he sits down. Robert Saleh, the coach of the Jets, saying they just need a reset there. They're playing the Bears. And on their end, Justin Fields, they say, is day-to-day. He has that shoulder injury. The starter for the Jets is going to be Mike White, who takes over. And then the Texans have benched Davis Mills and his long neck. I guess he suddenly sucked. Like, I remember last year when we were watching Davis Mills going, you know, he's not bad. He's not bad.
I kind of wondered, I mean, I didn't think he was that good at Stanford, and then you see him pop up in the NFL, and he's kind of chucking it around, and you're like, wow, maybe isn't he could stick.
Isn't that always weird?
Yeah, it is.
When you got guys in college, and Tanner McKee is the Stanford quarterback now, maybe another one.
Yep, yep.
Where you watch him in college, you think, my God, they're terrible. And then you see him stick around the NFL for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's so odd. We should put together our list of the top five guys like that.
Who we thought weren't going to be any good in the pros, and then turn out they can chuck it around?
Worst college quarterbacks that were best in the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm going to look into that. So the starter now in Houston is a guy by the name of Kyle Allen. They are getting set to play the Dolphins. They are two Teddy underdogs. Kyle Allen has 17 career starts, more than you would think. And you know what? I was looking at his stats. Not that bad. Career quarterback rating of 84, which is certainly better than Zach Wilson and Davis Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Most of his career starts in Kyle Allen. You may remember he was with Carolina at the time. So he will be taking over for Houston in that game against Miami. There is your Hot 5 at 5. Let's come back and talk a little college football. I am curious to know if Oregon will need to find an offensive coordinator for next year. I think this Kenny Dillingham to Arizona State steam is real. But I also don't know if that's a great first gig for him. I don't know. And nobody knows what's in his head. And he's focused on Oregon State. But let's talk about that a little bit before we get to Roppin' the Bank at 5:30. It is 5:12 on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, picks against the spread next, and even though Suk is not here, I do have his picks. We'll get those out there. First, though, you think Oregon's going to be losing Kenny Dillingham to Arizona State?
I don't know. I have thought a lot about this as well. Isn't he 32 years old?
Yes.
That would make him the youngest head coach in the Power Five by 4 years.
Well, yeah, isn't Dan Lanning the youngest?
36. Yeah.
Is Lanning the youngest right now?
Yes, he is.
You know, Lincoln Riley was 33 when he got hired at Oklahoma.
And this isn't a slight to Kenny, but I don't see them as being the same breed. I think Lincoln Riley was on this trajectory that he was bound to be a head coach like way sooner, and the programs that he got his jobs with, man, 32 seems really
young to be taking
a head gig coaching college kids.
No, it really is a weird one. I mean, he's done a great job at Oregon,
and it's not to mean he couldn't do it. I'm just, that would be quite the leap.
Well, dude, you're right, 32, that is so young.
Yeah,
someone he grew up, he knows nothing of a cassette tape. Dusty, grew up with the Discman.
Dusty had Eric Scopel on earlier today, who mentioned that like fifth or sixth year senior tight end Cam McCormick is like only 6 years in age difference from Kenny Dillingham as OC.
Jesus.
And you think of those usually as being more like father-son type relationships, or at least in age gap-wise.
My God. Well, I think it's, you know, he's done a good job. Although I would say at Oregon, I mean, look at Bo Nix. Look at Bo Nix's reputation before, and now look at Bo Nix, right? I mean, come on. That is a testament to what Kenny Dillingham has done. The other thing, too, is his ability. I thought that win against Utah was tremendous because, as they said after the game, and they've been saying this week, the playbook, I mean, the call sheet was minuscule because Bo Nix could not move, and yet they still were able to beat Utah, even with handing them 7 points. Like, that is a testament to Dillingham. Now, Utah cut up to that in the second half, and I think it's going to be even tougher for him this week. This is a great test of Kenny Dillingham as an OC if Bo Nix is that hobbled again against Oregon State. But I think he's really good. I like his play calling. He's intense. I don't know anything about him other than that. But Lanning likes him. And, you know, some of it, too, is when you come to Oregon after you follow Mario Cristobal. Like, when you follow Chip Kelly, that's a tough follow. That guy was out of there in 2 years, right? And he was pretty good. Mark Helfrich, right?
Yeah.
Took him to the brink of a college football championship, and then 2 years later, he's out.
That was always a weird spot, though, because I feel like at the time Chip was there, he was this coaching unicorn because he was doing things. I mean, now so many people are doing what Chip pioneered, but like, you were almost asking this guy to just carry Chip's water for a couple more years, and then when it fell apart, well, okay, now we need the new guy to like reinvent it. It was a weird spot for Helfrich to be in.
It was a weird spot, and he was propped up by Mariota.
Yeah, oh, big time.
But it's just really hard to follow a legend.
Yeah.
And when you're following Mario Cristobal, this makes, especially his offenses, this makes Dan Lanning and Kenny Dillingham look a lot better because I think they make the Cristobal staff, at least X's and O's wise, look like grade school coaches. I mean, it's not even close. And you remember, too, is Arroyo, and then Cristobal had the wherewithal to move Arroyo out. He ends up leaving for UNLV, but we all know he was, you know, he brings in Joe Moorhead. And Joe Moorhead, I remember watching the offense last year going, oh my God, this is so much better. And then, before you know it, it's back to sucking, and Joe Moorhead hates Mario Cristobal, and he leaves.
Yeah, and then Cristobal leaves, and Moorhead still coaches the bowl game, and Moorhead opens up the playbook.
Oh, that's right.
And you're
that's
like, right. We could have been doing this the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They clearly butted heads.
Big time.
About offense. And so it's nice that Dillingham, well, I guess the next question, well, no, Lanning's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
This is all Dillingham on offense, and it would be nice to be able to keep him, but he's going to be gone eventually. But I just wonder if the Arizona State job is one that, as your first job, is that a great job? I mean, it's a high profile job, but it's a sneaky hard job. That is not as great a job as many lay college football fans think it is. We've talked about that here a million times, just because there's a lot of apathy down there.
I think people think it's a good job because they see potential in like a southern location with near a couple recruiting pipelines and stuff. But the bottom line is the program hasn't been very good for a long time.
I don't think they really give a crap as much, and they have hot babes. Is that what they call them? Is that the kids
sure.
call them? Babes?
Yeah. Smoke
you know,
shows.
And you think that they should be great, and they have this big stadium, and it's just like, I don't know. I just think the proof's in the pudding that if it were that great of a job, more people have had more success there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, but you're 32 and you're looking for a head coaching job, you don't want to have to go to, I don't know, a lesser conference. Like I'm just trying to think of a,
but like, so you're not going to like Colorado State or something like that. I mean, like,
right.
Like,
or like
that's
Idaho
open,
or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to go there. You're 32. You're from, see, the thing about Dillingham is he is from Scottsdale. He grew up there. He played there. He went to Arizona State.
And that's the thing that actually makes me think that this isn't the right thing right now. Cause this to me feels like where, if you're Dillingham, almost where you want to end up and have this be the place where you stick. And trying to do that at 32 with a program that's facing maybe sanctions because of some of the stuff that's been going on, and they've just been bad, and now you're getting your butts kicked by, well, I guess USC's leaving the conference, but, you know, I feel like right now it's an uphill battle, and what are you going to have to do, and how well are you going to have to perform to keep that job for a long time if this is the job you want long term?
Well, the other thing, too, if you're sitting there and you're under Dan Lanning, if Dan Lanning has a bunch of success, and gets yanked out of Oregon, are you the next head coach at Oregon?
That's another good question.
Or do you have a great offer to go with? You put yourself in a great situation. You can go with Dan Lanning, or you can stay at Oregon and maybe be the head. I mean, I don't know.
I also think if you just continued to do what you're doing at Oregon for maybe another year or two, you could have your choice of 4 or 5 programs. If you are already, I mean, I know this one he has personal connections to, so it's a little different, and you don't hear about his name coming up with a lot of other Power 5 jobs, but if the Ducks and Lanning are successful for the next couple of years like they've been this year, why wouldn't more opportunities like that be open for him?
Yeah, it's a good situation where he's at. So I would imagine he's not just going to jump at anything, but it's home, and I don't know what he thinks of Arizona State. Maybe he loves it. Maybe he knows the secret sauce to getting that thing turned around. And I would also think from an Arizona State perspective, you're looking at Dillingham going, well, this is a great fit because he's from here and he knows our program. At the same time, if he has success in the first 3 years, 4 years, whatever, 2 years, he's gone. He's moving on to the next thing. He's the next hotshot, right? So why do you want to hire a 32-year-old coach at Arizona State when you know you're kind of a stepping stone job? I don't know. I think they're in a weird spot down there.
Can you maybe
Herm?
Can you put together an attractive package for him because he's so young, and then say, yeah, we know that it might take a little bit, but like we're giving you this shot to have a longer look at it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, get creative with the deal. I mean, it could be that you can do something like that and play off of his love of Arizona State if he has it. Like I said, I don't know. Maybe he hates Arizona State. He went there. Maybe he's like, oh, this place sucks. I would never coach here. I don't know. Who knows what's in his head? But, yeah, if I'm Arizona State and I'm bringing in Dillingham, I am going to try to do something like that with this contract.
Yeah.
Because he's so young. But he would be the youngest head coach in Power 5 history.
By a wide margin. Yeah. Oh, but no, in history by a year. Yeah. Because you said Lincoln Riley was 33. Yeah.
Now, Sean McVay, somebody brought up Sean McVay. He was 30 when he took the Rams job.
Was he really?
Yes.
I thought he was 32 or
he
33, but man.
30. 30. Wild. And now look at him. He's terrible. He should have retired.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You brought this up earlier in the week. You were talking about the trend of teams who had coaches flirting with new jobs falling apart. Now, those were all head coaches you were talking about. Uh-huh. But do you think this now more than public flirtation with Dillingham and ASU has any impact on this week or the next 2 weeks for the Ducks?
That's a good question. I don't know. I didn't last week. I mean, their offense wasn't very good, but I think that was more about Nick's injury.
Yeah. And it's hard.
I don't know.
It's impossible for us to know without being in the building, but you wonder.
Yeah. I mean, and you got Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Family, and I don't know, man. It's so hard when you're not on the inside every day to know. But I feel like Lanning and his crew, they're pretty damn good at staying laser-focused on the right things. I worry about what Suk was saying yesterday about how kids, you know, if you're sniffing around other jobs, kids...
They know.
They know, and it does start to erode what you have going on.
It does feel to me, though, and I haven't played, so I don't know, but it feels like it would be slightly more significant as a player if you thought the figurehead of your program was leaving, though, rather than your
the
play
OC.
Caller. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, is it the worst thing in the world if he went to Arizona State? I mean, you know you're going to lose him eventually, right? I was talking to somebody the other day about Joe Brady. You know, Joe Brady's the guy who was the whiz coach behind LSU and Joe Burrow's success.
Yep.
A couple of years ago, well, he parlayed that into the NFL and got railroaded out of that job, Carolina. He's still in the NFL.
Wasn't it? But didn't he get taken out like 8 games into his career or something like that by Rule? Didn't Rule boot him?
I don't know if it was 8 games in, but it wasn't long.
It was within the first season though. I don't think he made it through for a one full season. I don't believe.
So maybe he was exposed. I don't know. He's the quarterback's coach of the Bills now, so he's working with Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be interesting as an offensive coordinator if you lose Dillingham. I don't know. I would have every bit of faith in Dan Lanning to replace Dillingham with a quality offensive coordinator. But
I would too. And the thing about Lanning that's really interesting is when he came over from Georgia, he did not bring a single assistant from their staff with him.
He didn't.
So, and that, I don't know how much of that is loyalty to Kirby Smart or those assistants thinking they may get other opportunities by staying. But Lanning went out and got his own completely fresh staff without any carryovers from his last job, which tells you he can go get 13 or 14 guys that can do the job right.
Where did he work with Dillingham? Was it Arizona State? No, because Dillingham would have been like 4 years old at the time.
No, I would have to check where their paths crossed. I don't know off the top of my head.
How many new coaches will we have in the Pac-12 next year? That's the question. Arizona State, Colorado, obviously. We'll get two new ones there. Will Cal fire Wilcox?
I don't think so. I think that's a tough job to sell to the next guy.
I agree. I think you got a good guy there.
Yeah.
Let him make some moves. And I know he fired his OC. Stanford, David Shaw could get let go.
Man.
Who would you hire to run that program?
Golly.
It's so hard now when you're the smart school because of the NIL competing. Like, it's changed for Stanford. Like, that's a much tougher job now.
Yeah. The fact that they got by doing what they did for as long as they did.
Exactly.
Was a testament to really how good Shaw could be. But the landscape has just passed him by, I think.
Stanford's 1-8 in the Pac-12.
They're awful. And they're getting smoked by teams, too. Although, I guess it was they had to blow a lead against Cal to lose the Axe.
Did you see that he kicked a field goal at the end of the Cal game to lose by 7?
Yeah, and I saw that a bunch of money changed hands on it, too.
Oh, it did?
Because I think it crossed the over-under or beat the spread, one of the two.
Oh, dear. Dear, dear, dear. So we could get, I mean, maybe three. That'd be a pretty light off-season for the Pac-12 if it's only Arizona State and Colorado that switch coaches. Maybe Stanford, but I would stick with Shaw, too. I don't know what you do down there.
Yeah, with Sean Wilcox, I feel like those schools are lucky to have him, even though they're not performing well right now.
Yeah, I agree. So I don't know. It's a weird one with Dillingham. The latest report is that, Dennis Dodd of CBS said that Dillingham is the front runner for the Arizona State job, and it has been confirmed today that Dillingham has spoken with Arizona State about that job, but that's not unusual. A lot of coaches are talking to a lot of.
And you know what? At least he's not saying, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no interest. I'm focused on the Ducks, when that's not actually the case.
Well, another thought about your point, you know, it's like, does Dillingham talking, even just sniffing around a job like Arizona State, does that affect the team? Think about how many coordinators and coaches right now are talking to other schools.
Yeah.
It's just so much of that is going on right now because they want to hit the ground running in December with new coaches. And so it's all going on mostly with agents, but it's in the back channels. And I don't know. I would think that you could separate it, but Leipold just got an extension at Kansas. He's staying. Lane Kiffin still hasn't. You know, I mean, we don't know what he's doing. That report is kind of weird. But who are the other ones? Oh, Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
At Liberty, his team was stinking. And what was the other example we had of a team in the toilet? Oh. Mike Gundy's team.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
south,
that's right.
Leading you to believe maybe he was sniffing around somewhere else. But I don't know. It's impossible to say that if that's really the factor there.
By the way, the text line telling us that Lanning and Dillingham coached together at Memphis.
Ah, yes. I didn't even know Lanning was at Memphis.
How could we have missed that?
Right. Well, they're so damn young. It's just crazy to me. Dude, Kenny Dillingham was born in 1990. Wrap your head around that. Like, he couldn't even drink till 2011.
You know how, like, do you have any younger siblings?
No, I'm the youngest.
Oh, okay. If you have younger siblings, regardless of how old your younger siblings get, they'll always seem like juvenile. Like, it's just kind of how it works. But
I
like
can see that.
But my brother is older than Kenny Dillingham, and I'm like, well, then that must mean that, like, Kenny Dillingham is this juvenile idiot.
He's a baby.
Yeah. But my brother's not an idiot.
God. 32. If you sat me down at the age of 32 and interviewed me to be a head coach. I mean, I just...
To be the head coach at Arizona State.
Yes. I cringe to think how bad I would flail for any sort of responsibility at that age. Although I was at the station at the age of 32. That, you know, that's interesting. That's when Suk and I started. I was 32 in 2000... Let's see. We started in 2005. I was 30 when we started this show. Reminiscing. All right, we got to go. We got Rop in the Bank coming up next. I've got locks. I always have locks, though. Suk has locks. He is not here, but he's given them to us, so we'll spit those out. And Buck?
I'm going to need locks because last week was a beatdown.
Rough week. So we'll get to that coming up next. We normally do that on Thursday, but we'll do it next. Here is Buck with SportsCenter.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
One of our listeners texting us saying, "Sup, fellas." And to that we say, "Sup." Can we get the drops back soon? Do you have an update on our drop board?
I do not have an update on your drop board. My drop board... You and I need to navigate and figure out, because I'm not familiar with where all your drops are, because they are formatted in a way that I cannot see them. So
great.
Your visual memory will aid me in this. Mm. But
so things are going great. So as far as your update, can we get the drops back soon? The answer is likely no.
The answer is,
But they tell me that I get some sort of contraption in here where I will be able to run the drops.
See, that's what's important, because you, I think, will know. If you were sitting where I am, you would know where the things you want and need are, but yeah. I can't tell with the way things are formatted.
Yeah. Be patient on the farts, man.
The farts are back. We know that much.
Yeah, we do have a few farts. It's time now for our Locks of Gibraltar. Ladies and gentlemen, the highly popular Roppin' the Bank segment.
Isaac and Souk are ready to predict this week's college and NFL outcomes with their usual laser-like accuracy.
How about if I take your money and kick you in the balls 3 times? No. Is that a fair deal?
A deep dive on the games that matter and some that don't.
Football is football.
Football's football.
This is Roppin' the Bank with Isaac and Souk on 1080.
Somebody's making money.
The Fan.
I love betting on... both college and pro this week, just because we get our eyeballs on a lot of games, a lot of days, and just a lot of cool, I don't know, I just love this week. We talked about it earlier. So I have been breaking down games all week with my patented lock system, and I have spit out 4. So I have 4 for you, 2 from college, 2 from the NFL. All of Souk's plays, now he texted me in, speak good I do.
Yeah.
He texted in his plays to our phones earlier today. He has 4 from the NFL. And Buck, Lord knows what Buck's going to do. He needs it. He is 1-4, coming off a 1-4 week, now down 18 units.
Yeah, we're going to have a big-time turnaround because we have to.
Yeah, you went big last week. I was 3-3 last week. Loved the College Board, and I... You know, that Oklahoma State pick, that was a bad pick. They were down 28-0 in the first quarter. Yeah,
that was ugly.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I don't know what's going on with them. I am down 12 units for the year, and then Big Souk was 3-3 last week. He is up 15 units for the year. And for those asking, what is a unit? It can be any denomination based on your bankroll. It's just your one unit bet is, say, let's say it's $100. If you bet 5 units on a game, that's your biggest play. You would bet $500 on that game. But that denomination could be anything that you want it to be based on how much money you have. Okay, let's get started. I will go first because I'm great, and this is a lock. We throw that term around far too much, but I feel really good about this. And when my wife and I go to Alien Age tomorrow, I'm going to place this wager. So I just want you to know that I will have real money on this game. Ohio State is a 7.5-point favorite over Michigan. Now, I think that everybody looks at that and goes, whoa, Michigan's really good. Rivalry game. 7.5, way too many. Not so fast. I'm going to be taking the Buckeyes. Revenge on the minds of Ohio State. Remember, Michigan beat them by 15 last year in the Big House. I do think Ohio State will be able to contain Michigan's run game. Remember, Michigan's top running back, I don't even think the backup maybe. They're both banged up.
Yep.
Ohio State has the 13th ranked run defense. Michigan's defense, to me, is a little overvalued based on their schedule. They have played 7 of the bottom 35 offenses in the country. I also think this is a quarterback mismatch. That Michigan quarterback is going to struggle if they don't run the ball. And C.J. Stroud is dynamic. I think this is going to be all Ohio State. I think this game is going to have all the hype of the weekend, and it's going to be one of those that we're watching and just hoping that it gets close in the end because it's a blowout. I've got Ohio State winning 35-13 for 5 units.
You know what? When I look at lines, I try to figure out what the line is telling you or what the odds makers are trying, what behavior they're trying to invoke by what they're right. calling it. And I didn't know what this line was before today. Seeing it at 7.5 makes me think with that half point, they are begging you to take Michigan, thinking that they can keep it within a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. I think
they want you to, because that I'm 100% with you here. I think Ohio State has way more playmakers, and I would be more wary of the number if it were 6 than if it were 7.5. And so I'm going to rock with the Buckeyes too. I, sir, will use one of my 10 unit bets.
Yes! Yes! Oh my God, yes.
Which means Sook's definitely going to want Michigan now.
Well, I did just read that most of the money is on Michigan. So that's one of those.
Which I also like.
I love that too. Yeah, I'll go against the public.
Fade the public.
Hugh, from the sportsbook manager from A&A, was on our show the other day when we were out there, and he was saying that very thing. He was talking about how just the way the public thinks, they look at that and go, that's way too big of a line because Michigan's really good. But I feel like they're a little overvalued based on their schedule. So we're going to ride Buckeyes. Okay, I've got one other college pick, and it's a money line parlay. Now, ooh. I am not a parlay guy over 2 teams. I think you got to stick to 2. And what I do with the money line parlays, which I think is, it's like you look for games where you put 2 of them together and you don't have to worry about the point spread. You just need them both to win. I think if you do that with 2 teams, you can get bets that are in the, you know, 120 to 130, minus 120 to minus 130.
Yeah, I think sometimes 140 if everybody likes them. Yeah, but
now,
yeah.
I looked at this one on the A&A website, and it's actually minus 162 bet. So I've got to lay a little juice here.
Sure.
But I love this because I just don't think either of the underdogs are winning. They could be close games. I actually don't think either is going to be a close game. But Baylor is not beating Texas.
Okay.
Texas is the first half of it, and I hate to go against my Jayhawks, but Kansas State is not going to lose to Kansas.
Okay.
Kansas has had a nice year, but they can't stop anyone. And Kansas State, the spread on that game is 12. I would be inclined to take Kansas State on that, but I just don't think Baylor or Kansas are winning on the road. So I'm putting Texas and Kansas State together in a money line parlay that is minus 162, and I will do that for 5 units.
Okay.
Jim, 5 units.
All right. I have 3 more college plays. I'll make them quick. I'm going Notre Dame plus the 6 against USC. I think that it's an easy letdown spot for USC after a big game last week. Reading some headlines, I think Notre Dame's defense is legit. I think SC's is not. I think that Notre Dame can win that game. I also think they could just keep it close. I like Mike Leach and the Bulldogs in the Egg Bowl tomorrow, plus +2 Mississippi State. These are all 5-unit plays, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Now you're going for it.
Yeah, well, the only way to dig yourself out of a hole is to get a bigger shovel, I've
heard.
Well,
we don't have that many weeks left.
I know. So Mississippi State, Mike Leach hasn't won this game so far. We've talked about Lane Kiffin and all the distraction going on there this week. It just feels like the right spot. It's a spot play, Mississippi State plus +2. And I know earlier in the week we were talking about most likely Northwest upset or Pac-12 upset, but I really like the Ducks this week. Here's why. I think Forsythe is going to be back, and I think that greatly impacts their ability to run the ball, even if Bo's not running very much. I think Bo is going to be more mobile than he was before and have a little more power than he did before. If you get a better version of Bo and a better O-line against a team who I think might be a step down from Utah in Oregon State, I think the Ducks win this thing by a touchdown. Plus, the other thing that often keeps these games close, special teams, Oregon State's kicker is terrible. Have you seen this?
Yes.
7 of 19 on the season or something, or 9 of 17, but he's 52% on the year. Oregon State basically has to go for it in that kind of no man's land every time, and I think that greatly benefits Oregon.
I love the hot kicker angle.
I will take I'll take the Ducks minus -3.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that spread is settled in at 3. Okay, there's our college picks now to the NFL, and this is where Suk comes in. I'll start it because Suk has this one as well. We are both going to be on the Giants tomorrow. The Giants are catching 10 at Dallas. And look, this to me is very simple. The public is going to be pounding the Cowboys because they look so good against Minnesota. And the Giants are coming off a shockingly bad loss at home to Detroit. So those two games alone make this line the highest it can possibly be. So I'm buying low on the Giants, and I am selling high on Dallas. I think this is a pretty good game. This is a divisional game, and they've already played once, and Dallas won the first one. Those tend to even out. I think the Giants will be able to run the ball. They will play keep away. They did rush for 167 yards in the first meeting. Also factoring in here, Dallas, I guess, has had a big bug run through their defense.
Oh, interesting.
And there's a couple guys that are out, and several other guys are questionable. So I think this is a good game. I'm going to go Dallas 34, Giants 31. But catching 10, that's way too many points. And Suk is on that one as well. Mine is a 5-unit play. Suk's is a 3-unit play.
I think that's probably the right side of that one. So I'm going to go another game that's on Thanksgiving, but I'm going to go in the early one. And I'm going to take the Bills minus -9.5 for 5 units. The reasoning, simply, I think people are excited to be behind the Dan Campbell Lions and their 3-game win streak. I think the Bills have been totally out of sorts in their last 2 games. They had the collapse against Minnesota. They didn't look good, and they turned the ball over a bunch against Green Bay. This is has a get-right feel to it. I think they go up by double digits, and then they just kind of coast after that. So I'm taking the Bills minus -9.5 for 5.
Okay, well, the third game tomorrow is Patriots-Vikings, and Suk has a play on New England. He likes the Patriots catching 3 in Minnesota. He's got a 4-uniter. That's his biggest play of the week. So if you're tailing Suk, he likes the Pats there. Can't say I blame him. The Vikings. Do you think we have ever had the team with the best record in the NFL get blown out at home worse than what we saw last week? There's no way that's happened.
I don't think so.
40-3.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
So Minnesota, some of the shine's coming off of Minnesota. He likes old Billy Belichick there. And their defense.
I kind of do too, but I'm not willing to put any of my money behind that New England offense yet.
That's a scary one because I just feel like when you get embarrassed at home like that, Minnesota, and they're still a good team, you might get a good effort out of them. And plus, Mac Jones. Need I say more?
Yeah, you don't need to say much more.
My other NFL pick is one that looks exactly, and I mean exactly, like Dallas and Minnesota from last week.
Okay.
It's the same exact point spread as well. And that is Cincinnati favored by 1.5 at Tennessee. What are we missing here? Why is Cincinnati favored? Tennessee has covered 8 straight games. This one, it's another one of those when the odds makers are telling you that one team is better, believe them. Therefore, with Ja'Marr Chase coming back, I'm actually going to be taking Cincinnati minus -1.5 in Tennessee. They think the Bengals are the better team. Now, their offense is putting up points, even without Ja'Marr Chase, and he is back this week. The Titans are in a flat spot. This is another one, another angle I love to look at, is when you have a team in a flat spot in the schedule. This game for the Titans is sandwiched right in between that big road game at Green Bay, and next week they play at Philadelphia. Let's also remember that the Titans' pass defense is ranked number 30. It is not good. Joe Burrow is good. I think Cincinnati's going to score here. The Titans have covered 8 in a row. This is a letdown spot for them. I'm going to go Cincinnati 31, Tennessee 19 and a half.
Oh, interesting. I like that half
point. They're
going
to get a
half point. Okay. I have
5 units.
I have 2 more, both teams coming off of bye weeks. I'm taking the Miami Dolphins minus 13 and a half against the Texans, who we know are not interested in winning and have changed quarterbacks. Miami has now had an extra week to get their defense tight with Bradley Chubb, who they've just acquired and had just recently got there before their last game. I think this is a perfect spot for a blowout of 3 touchdowns plus. And then additionally, I think the Seahawks coming off a bye, they seem like the type of team that comes in prepared after one of those layoffs. And the Raiders just kind of in shambles. You hear about some of the infighting and sniping between Derek Carr and Devontae Adams, and Josh McDaniels is a mess. This game's in Seattle. I don't see why the Seahawks aren't winning it by a touchdown. Give me Seahawks minus 3.5.
Oh, it's 3.5 now?
That's what I saw up there. Is that right?
Okay. 3.5. Now, those are 5?
Those are 5 unit plays.
Look at you. Big balls, Buck. Sook's final 2 picks. He is going to be on Baltimore, minus 3.5. They are out in, they're playing in Jacksonville. He's got 3 units on that. And he likes Pittsburgh on Monday night. That is a 3 unit play. Let me double check the spread. They are playing in Indianapolis. And the spread is 2.5. So Pittsburgh catching 2.5. So to review, Big Sook will be on the Giants plus 10, New England plus 3, Baltimore minus 3.5, and Pittsburgh plus 2.5. I'll be in Ohio State minus 7.5, Texas K-State money line parlay, the Giants plus 10, and the Bengals minus 1.5. Buck is going big.
Got to.
Ohio State minus 7.5, Notre Dame plus 6, Mississippi State plus 2, Oregon minus 3, Buffalo minus 9.5, Miami minus 13.5, and Seattle minus 3.5. There's Rob in the bank. We will be back with a bonus sports segment, I guess. I don't know. On The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, much in the same vein as like good Bo Nix, bad Bo Nix, although this year it's been mostly good Bo Nix, there is good Yusuf Nurkic and bad Yusuf Nurkic.
Ah, that there is.
And I was just catching up on how the Blazers are doing tonight during the break, and it is not going well. And boy, that Blazer Twitter, it's a wild place. And they are all over Yusuf tonight. They are down. Blazers are down 95-77. In Cleveland.
Yeah, I haven't been, I've been keeping an eye on the score, less the box score, but we did get one text that just simply said, Nurk worthless.
Yeah, also, Blazers are poo, rolling in on the text line.
Uh-huh, and someone else had the conjecture they might break the turnover record tonight, so I don't know what that is or how many they have, but we should maybe keep an eye on it.
Well, things are going great. Let's take a look at the turnover numbers here. Cleveland, let's see. Oh, dear. Well, The Cavs have turned it over 14 times. There's 8 minutes left to go in the game. The thing there, though, is the Blazers have turned it over 15 times. So, not great.
Well, they got ways to go. 30 would be the record by the Lakers in 1970.
Most turns?
Yeah.
In a game? 30?
30.
God.
It was brought into context in 2018 when the Rockets turned it over 27 times.
It's like a college basketball game broke out. You watching any of this college ball?
Not really.
Yeah. I watched my Jayhawks this morning. They're maddening as ever.
I try to watch the Ducks when they're on, but Dana's teams seem like they notoriously round into form late, and it's hard to know early.
No, there's just no offense.
Yeah.
No flow. They lost to Houston, right?
Yeah, they did. By 10, I think.
Yeah. Somebody asks, is the title run with the Blazers now over?
It's never over.
That's right. I would say no. Just a little blip.
Also, you'd have to ask, was the title run on in the first place?
Well, I did take a, I have a little ticket sitting in my DraftKings account.
What'd you get it? 25 to 1? 60 to 1? 80 to 1?
Oh, God, no. It was like 10,000. Well, it would have been, well, they, you know, they do it by plus. Well, I think it was plus 10,000.
So as 100 to 1 odds?
I think that's 100 to 1.
I think that's 100 to 1 odds, yeah.
Yeah, let's go. I got the Seahawks at like, or maybe it was the Blazers plus 8,000 and the Seahawks plus 10,000. I think that's what it was. Anyway, let's go. Gives me something to root for.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, let's move on to the club. We have a true international hero from up the road in Seattle, and there used to be two Thanksgivings in Oregon. We discuss next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.